This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. Week one is what I'm trying to say. Week one. Not 1 week. That would be ridiculous. Week one of the NFL schedule is here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Lakers beat the Red Hot Knicks, and stop me if you've heard this before, but, Well, you might as well hear it from the horse's mouth. Hey, AD, how you feeling?
Well, I'm hurt. not more so my body, just, you know, my groin got tight. You know, that was really it. Not sure where it came from, but the groin got a little tight. And there's no way I was coming out the game. I mean, big game for us. You know, a team was playing real high. You know, the situation that we're in, trying to battle for six.
You know, I got to say, this is worrying because hamstrings and groins are the kinds of injuries where you play through it, it's just going to get worse and worse. You have to rest them. And by the way, usually not just for a couple days. So what do you do with AD now? Because you also need some rhythm with LeBron and Schroeder, right? What do you do if you try to play for this sixth seed right now and exacerbate AD's injury? That's foolish, because what that would mean is you're heading into a first-round matchup cold. If you can even get to the sixth seed, you need some help. The Blazers need to lose a little. But if you did, you'd be heading into a first-round matchup with the Clippers, with the hurt AD. And by the way, LeBron, we got to hope that that ankle really feels better and stays feeling better. I'll tell you this right now. 80, 90% of LeBron and AD ain't going to get by the Clippers. I don't know if 100% will right now. Clippers are really good. They haven't played great recently, but they're really good. Now, on the bright side, Lakers fans, we just saw the Lakers beat the Nuggets and the Suns, and now the Knicks, who are a scrappy team. They're not bad. You know, with AD carrying the team without LeBron. Now think of what that means if LeBron and AD can get right. If they can get right, who in the West would you take to stop them? I really think at the end of the day, if the Lakers have LeBron and AD on the floor and they're really LeBron and AD, they will get out of the West. I think they will. Of course, James Harden's coming back tonight for the Brooklyn Nets. And as I said in the last hour, on the low, what makes the Nets so dangerous, not just the accumulation of talent at the very top. I mean, KD, Harden, and Kyrie is ridiculous. Ridiculous big three. There's never been anything like it, really. All get their own shots at historically great levels, all score from anywhere on the floor at historically great levels in terms of their efficiency and everything, and they're playing unselfishly. And then Joe Harris can shoot the lights out. He's the fourth option. But the real key to that team, someone in the last hour, a caller, talked about like the Warriors. The real key to that team is this is the Houston Rockets, the D'Antoni Rockets with Harden, had they traded for KD and Kyrie. Imagine if the D'Antoni Rockets started the season with KD and Kyrie. They would murder everybody. They'd kill everyone. Like, think about that for a second. The D'Antoni Rockets, with just Harden, took the KD Warriors, KD, Steph, Clay, Dre, everybody, to a seventh game at Houston in the conference finals. Missed 27 consecutive threes at one point. Chris Paul wasn't even playing, and still only lost by single digits because D'Antoni, James Harden running the pick and roll is almost unstoppable without KD and Kyrie. With KD and Kyrie, it's a wrap. Harden, game time decision, maybe comes back tonight. Which is the bigger comeback, Harden or LeBron? Ooh, it's getting thick in the NBA right now. Meantime, NFL schedule released. Got some good matchups. Interesting storylines. I was told I was crazy on First Take today because the most intriguing game to me is the Dolphins and Pats. This ain't your slightly older cousins, AFC East. Everyone seems to be giving it to the Bills, by the way. And the Bills are dangerous because they have a real good quarterback, a defense, an offense, a quarterback and a receiver who have a real connection, who are both elite or the next thing to it. And they just won the division. But the Patriots, without Tom Brady, a brand new quarterback coming off a catastrophic injury in Cam Newton, a completely different quarterback than the one they had, no receivers to speak of, that Patriots team, in a season without a preseason, right? That's what Belichick needs is preparation. That's when he's best, right? Couldn't get it. Came two plays away from going 9-7. As it was, went 7-9, had a bunch of good wins. And that was with Cam, after all that stuff I said, got COVID, and they had to shut the practice facilities down. They spent all this money in free agency. They have much more depth on offense. They look better on defense. Forget about Mac Jones. I'm not even assuming Mac Jones plays. Cam will be more comfortable year two. Two plays away from nine wins. They could win 9-10 games this year. I wouldn't put it past them. I think Belichick looks at this team and thinks, we're going to make a Super Bowl run. And the Dolphins, they won 10 games last year with a no-name defense. That was really good. The only issue was their rookie quarterback, who was thought to be a potential star, right? Tua Tagovailoa. Wasn't really coming up with chunk plays. Wasn't throwing the ball down the field. They went and got him Jaylen Waddle in the draft. First wide out taken. I mean, Jaylen Waddle, well, second wide out taken. Jaylen Waddle is a guy who can get you a chunk play if you throw the ball 5 or 8 yards. And Dolphins Patriots, game one, could determine the AFC East. This could wind up being a tiebreaker or the game that determines, like, when all is said and done, it can come down to one play. If Tua just would have made that play, Dolphins would have won the division. It's a huge game. Meantime, look, the Tennessee Titans are a good team year in and year out, but what about Arizona, right? That's actually a perfect litmus test for Kyle Murray and those guys. Tennessee is like the gatekeepers to the elite teams, right? Kyler Murray's got a defense now, DeAndre Hopkins, and how about Justin Herbert against that Washington defense? New coach. How about Zach Wilson against Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold playing the team that drafted him and then let him go. How about Seattle at Indy? Seattle, people act like they didn't just win 12 games. Seattle wins a lot of games every year for all their problems, right? They win a lot of games. Indianapolis, this is it. No excuses for Carson Wentz. He's got a defense. He has an offensive line. He has a coach who's familiar with him, and he's familiar with the coach, and they like each other, and they've had a lot of success together. He has receivers. He has a running game. What's the excuse? But you know what? Seattle is the type of team that figures out, when you win 10, 12 games a year, you figure out a way to win these kind of games. Can Carson Wentz figure out a way to get Indy past Seattle? There's a lot of every year with the NFL schedule, right? Chicago at the Rams. Do they start Justin Fields against that defense? Because I'll bet you Justin Fields beats out Andy Dalton in preseason. They start him against that Rams defense? Is it a new era in Chicago? How's Pittsburgh going to hold up against the Buffalo defense at Buffalo? Pittsburgh needed to invest in that offensive line, spent a first-round pick on a running back as though that's what's going to help the running game and not the O-line. Okay. All right, better run the ball against that Bills defense. Of course, my Giants, I'm interested. They're hosting Denver. Denver still doesn't have a quarterback. Always interested in my Giants. I think the Giants win the NFC East this year. Washington has a better defense. They have a special defense. Dallas has a better offense. They have a really good offense. Eagles are a mess. But who's the most well-balanced team in the division? Giants offensive line should be adequate at least this year, finally. Andrew Thomas, who they reached for. I mean, there are other tackles that were better, but he came along in the second half. Solder is overpaid, but he's competent. They have a lot of guys like that on the line. Saquon's coming back. They signed Galladay. Slayton might be a number one anyway. Kadarius Toney is a burner. And so is Ingram. I mean, they have a lot of dynamic weapons on offense. And we'll see what it all comes down to Daniel Jones. We'll see how he handles it all. Stop turning the ball over. And on defense, Giants are good. Most well-balanced team in the division. Baltimore at Vegas. Raiders. Gruden ever going to turn this around, or is this something that just, we just, you know, gave up on? Well, it's, you know, got the 10-year contract. We're going to have to ride this one out. Like, what? It's year four. YG in Kentucky, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I'm like Green Beans. I'm not Green Beans, but Green.
Oh, let's listen to that YG.
Another one, macaroni. Okay.
We'll put them on the same one that way you can sell it off. When you order your size, make sure you order with one sandwich to get sold off.
Okay.
Because sometimes they won't think.
I can't understand what anyone's saying.
You put me up.
Hey, YG!
What do you think he's
going on? Yeah.
No, like, I'm hearing too much background noise. Oh, no. Fun.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, YG. I was trying to listen in on your on whatever conversation you were having, but I was unable to make anything out. What's up, YG?
I was trying to get fed. I just want to speak on Anthony Davis. I think that if he can stay off the ground.
All right, hold on. YG, okay, here's the thing. YG, we're going to talk to YG another time. Wasn't paying attention, was having a side conversation. When I finally got to him, slow first step. Come on, YG, you're better than that.
Hey, I think he was ordering that fire, whatever he was ordering. That sounded good. He wanted extra hot sauce. He said some biscuits.
Did he? Oh, was he ordering food? I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, I believe so.
Keith in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Love your show, man.
Thank you, Keith.
I have a question right now about Tim Tebow. Why everybody's mad that Tebow has the plug? Yes, there are a lot of guys out there who should be picked up, but Tim Tebow has the plug to get in. I'm not mad at him.
Not only
it's
that,
it's about what he do once he gets there.
Not only that,
it's about what he do when he gets there.
Yeah, I mean,
guys
look,
like, oh, this guy's better. This guy's better. Tebow has a great plug. I'm not mad.
Yeah, me, I'm not mad either for someone taking advantage of opportunity. I understand why it bothers people. Sports is supposed to be the purest kind of meritocracy we have. There is no pure meritocracy, but maybe the best one. But here's the other thing. We're getting all bent out of shape because you can't be the 50. Like, I'm not the 51st best guy. I'm not the 52nd best guy. I'm the 51st best guy. I'm not the 53rd best guy. I'm the 52nd best guy. I mean, if people are that upset, get your game up. Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Know what I'm saying, Marcus? Like, everyone's bent out of shape about Tebow. Marcus, you know what I'd say if you're a bubble player and Tebow took your spot when he didn't deserve it? Get your game up. He's not taking a player who's going to get PTs, you know, playing time. He's taking a dude who's happy, like lucky to make the team for a short while. Why is everyone so bent out of shape?
I'm not bent out of shape, Max, as long as he's better than the guys he stay on the team. Better than the guys that he replaces or whatever. But, you know, that's football. Like, if he's better and proves everybody wrong, it is what it is.
Hey.
But if he gets a job or another guy is released because of his relationship with Urban Meyer, that's what I have a problem with.
I mean, but if he does get the job, yo, Marcus, it's not going to be a guy who's going to play a lot. It's going to be a guy who would barely, like, you know, we're talking about a roster spot, like the worst guy on the team, basically.
So why are you keeping him there? If he's not going to help you?
There's some, as you know, sometimes you might think one player is a little better than another player. But if the other player's in spitting distance of him, you like the influence he could have in a locker room. You feel comfortable with him as an emissary to the other players.
Max, I hate, bro, y'all, everybody got to stop saying that. Tim hasn't played in the NFL in 8 years.
Yeah.
The locker room is not the same anymore, bro. Like, everybody keeps saying he's going to come in, there's going to be leadership, and he's going to set the
No, I'm not saying that, no. Marcus. I'm not saying that. I'm saying a head coach may want a surrogate in the locker room that he can trust. Molly had an interesting theory, which on First Take, which I thought was might be right, which is if you're Urban Meyer, you might want Tebow just around the team or on the staff, but you know if you offer him a job on the coaching staff or as a motivator, he's not going to say yes. So you lure him in.
Right.
You lure him in with, like, you might make the roster. And then, you know, all right, you didn't make the roster. Hey, why don't you hang around the team and do this and this? Maybe it's a way to get him in the door.
Maybe it is, man. But I would also say, like, if that is the plan, we like, ultimately what you just said, we're talking about Tim Tebow, bro. Like, Tim is a best-selling author. He's one of the premier speakers in America.
Yeah.
You know, obviously his Christianity and going around the churches. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what value is that for Tim?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Well, listen, I got one last theory, and then I want to go on to I want to go on to Cowboys and Bucks, but my last theory is this. In drama, like if you go watch a movie, there's something called a MacGuffin. Not in every movie, but in some movies. That's a character or a thing that distracts everybody. You think it's about this. It's like wrapped up in the plot, but really you find out later it really didn't have anything to do with it. It was just a distraction. You know, Tim Tebow could be a MacGuffin. You know who we haven't been talking about the last week? Trevor Lawrence. There's more pressure on this dude than anyone ever as a rookie, basically, and no one's even thinking about him. So maybe it's a good distraction. I don't know. Marcus, I want to get to the Cowboys. Go ahead. Comment on that. Then let's move on.
That could be a theory, but Max, why would you do that? That's extra. Trevor Lawrence, deemed the best prospect to come out since Luck. He got the right mental makeup. You don't need a distraction. You need him to embrace that because you plan on him being your quarterback for the next 15 to 20 years. At some point, it's going to be his show anyway. So I get it, man, and I understand, but let's move on.
Okay. Cowboys-Bucks week one. Who has more on the line? That's another I didn't touch this week one matchup because I was waiting for Marcus Spears to weigh in. Who has more on the line, Cowboys or Bucks week one?
It's absolutely the Cowboys, and it's not just pertaining to the players. It also has a lot to do with what is Dan Quinn defense going to look like? What is Mike McCarthy and Kellen Munn going to come up with to devise a plan to get Zeke Elliott going? Like, everybody keeps talking about Dak, and rightfully so. But we all know that the hallmark of this team was Zeke Elliott, this offensive line, and being able to run the football, man.
Let me ask something about that, Marcus. Let me ask something about Zeke. Did he get the bag and get fat, basically? Is he one of those dudes who are like, watch out, if you pay him, he's not going to be Zeke anymore? Is that what happened?
No, I don't think so. Look, you can take that away from last season, Max. Honestly, you can. Mm. But the fumbling, I don't attribute that to him being a guy that is just shutting it down, basically. That's what you're asking me. No, I don't think that. If I thought that, you know damn well I would say it out of anybody. What I think happened was that entire team was deflated when Dak Prescott got injured. And I also believe that played a big part in Jerry realizing how important it was to have the absolute unquestioned leader of your football team out, because everything went haywire. I mean, you think about Zeke in that situation. You also think about we give Zeke a lot of grief. Zeke was playing against five guys that never played football before. Mm-hmm. So I get it. And you know me, like, people try to deem me an apologist for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't give a damn if the Cowboys like what I'm saying or not, or anybody else. But the bottom line is, man, any other team, any other situation, last year a wash. If I told you you was going to lose 95% of your offensive line, your starting quarterback, defensively, you were going to be in a new scheme and system that nobody understood, and no guy on that side of the ball was built to play, with a new head coach, with an offseason with no practice and no COVID. I mean, with COVID. And you tell me that you still supposed to – what were they supposed to do? That's what I want to ask everybody. And any team in that situation, what are they supposed to do? If Aaron Rodgers would have been injured for the season with Green Bay, guess what? We wouldn't have saw Green Bay in the NFC Championship.
I hear you. I mean, listen, we can go on and on about this. I remember he played the full season the year before. They went 8-8 in a bad division and didn't make the playoffs. But every year, hope springs eternal. Every year, here we go again with the Cowboys, especially if you played for the team. Marcus Spears made a lot of money on that team. I'm not mad at you, Marcus. The great Marcus Spears, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL analyst. I mean, a lot of money. How is that NFL money? Pretty
bags.
Good.
Yeah. Bags, Max.
Yeah.
Bags.
I hear
Not
you.
Not your type of bag, but I made a couple bags.
I hear you. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. There is a possible playoff matchup. Or matchup, as people say. Not matchup. I don't know what a matchup is. That could be the best of the first round. I'm going to get into that. This weekend's UFC 262 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, knockout, everything. Means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. Cash prizes, that is. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, Fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. It's true, when you have skin in the game, it's more exciting, it's better. I know during the football season, I put on Red Zone and I got my DraftKings lineup in. Woof. So you do it with MMA too. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code MAX to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. No doubt next.
No doubt.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 and rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Remember, Khabib Nurmagomedov, who beat Conor McGregor. Undefeated Khabib Nurmagomedov is apparently retired. I don't believe it'll be a forever retirement, but maybe. And the lightweight division has to move on. Catch UFC 262 this Saturday, available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right. What do we got on No Doubt today, Raj?
Max, you're good with the NFL returning to London?
No doubt. You know what I really liked about it? When I lived on the West Coast, when I lived in L.A., What time was it? 7 in the morning? The games were already...
Before that sometimes, dude. Before that, 6:30.
I'd wake up at halftime and be like, oh, damn, they played a half of football already. Like, the kids come, jump in the bed. I just kind of reach over for the remote, click, and I'm knee-deep in football. First thing. Yeah, I like it. Why not? The issue with the NFL is the NFL is not an elegant sport. It's not an easy to understand sport. It's convoluted like baseball. So it doesn't export well. You know, basketball like soccer is very easy to understand. It's a more elegant sport. Fewer moving pieces, simpler. And so where the NFL can find interest, they should exploit it.
Okay. Hey, Max, we got a birthday in the house. Emilio Estevez turns 59 today.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember what this song was from, Max, in the 80s?
Of course, The Breakfast Club.
All right. Now, imagine The Breakfast Club was one of the 80s best movies.
No doubt. And it was also a movie that really was perfectly 80s, you know? It was one of those seminal one of the movies that defined the decade. The Breakfast Club kind of defined one of those movies that defined the decade culturally. I remember I was 11 years old. I went to see that. I was like, I hear that song now. I get all sentimental. Yeah, it's a great flick.
Great song.
Yeah.
Great song. Great movie. Matched up perfectly.
Yeah.
Hey, you'd be excited about the Warriors versus Lakers more than any other first round playoff matchup.
Nah, son. Although I'd like it. It's not that I'd be more excited about Lakers Clippers, but Lakers Warriors, you're saying a play-in game?
Like a turn of be a series, play-in game, everything's gonna be all
They're not gonna face each other in the first round. But a play-in game, the issue is this. In a play-in game, it's not single elimination. So whoever loses is going to play, Spurs Grizzlies winner, right? So it lacks a little drama there. And in a best of seven, I don't think the Warriors can hang with the Lakers. Lakers Clippers round one. Yeah, one game
if Steph goes off.
Yeah, but I know, but that's not going to knock the Lakers out. If it was one game and the loser is eliminated from the playoffs, now we're talking. Right. But that's not what it's going to be. All right. What else?
All right. Hey, we just passed up National Eat What You Want Day. Eat whatever you want day. So, Max, you can eat whatever you want, health and all that aside. What you eating?
Probably pizza because
that's not a no doubt question. Thanks.
Yeah, but still, that's a good point, Brendan. Probably pizza, because that's the one thing that's the worst for me. It's all carbohydrates and dairy and salt. But like a good slice of pizza, or a slice. Ooh. I could, like, here's the thing. I never get full. If you put a pie in front of me, I'll finish the pie and be like, all right, what else are we talking about here? So, but if you're asking what's the perfect food is the cheeseburger. We're never going to chop the top of the cheeseburger. You got all your proteins and fats and carbs. Cheeseburger is the best food. There is no bones, handheld. It's the best food. You've never gone wrong with a cheeseburger order in your life. You never ordered the cheeseburger and thought, I messed up.
Yeah, I have, actually.
What?
On the way back from Costa Rica one time, they made it like a hockey puck, because in the airport, you had to make it well done. You had to.
Costa Rica Groves!
Like yeah, we had to. B, what you eating? What you eating? Anything you can eat? What you eating?
Well, if you're eating a lot of something, it would probably be pizza. I think my favorite foods, I would say, are tacos and chicken parm.
Okay. Chicken parm's a good one,
but you can't have, like, a ton of
tacos. You can have a lot of,
tacos you can have a lot of. I'd say tacos or pizza.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I could be on a diet and have a lot of tacos.
No, tacos are great. Okay. I mean, Taco Tuesday last night.
Make Brendan mad and take one caller before the break.
Trey in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. So you were talking earlier about LeBron James. He's the King Luka. Real quick, I just wanted to make a quick comment about the Cowboys, because I keep hearing everybody saying that Dak Prescott going down ruined our season, and it's a big deal. But I think the Cowboys fans should pay attention to what our trajectory was with Dak in. We weren't playing that great with it. And I bleed silver and blue, but we still need to make some serious adjustments.
All right. Listen, I'm going to respond to that on the other side of this commercial break. And by the way, if AD is banged up for real, can LeBron even keep the crown this year? The football offseason is always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for this coming season. I know I am. Schedule got released today. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/max. Last take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. Going to get to more of your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Will the Cowboys be fine, right? Everyone's just assuming. The caller was like, I don't know. I've been saying this. I don't know. I don't think they win the division. They had a healthy Dak. The Eagles were all banged up 2 years ago. It was a weak division to begin with. And the Cowboys couldn't get to the playoffs and had a 500 record. And then last year, with Dak, they were no great shakes. And without Dak, they came in third place in arguably one of the worst divisions ever. Not, it was one of the worst divisions of all time, but it's on a short list for worst division of all time. Might have been the worst division of all time. They came in third place. And the year before, 8-8 in a bad division. Why do we just assume that they're going to win the division? Because they have the best quarterback? They do have the best quarterback. But their defense was bad, and they've had talent at the linebacker position, but they haven't been able to get production out of it. So they have more talent at the linebacker position. Do they know how to use it? They did not really do what they wanted to do in the secondary, especially at corner in the draft. Not exactly. I look at the division. Washington is better on defense than the Cowboys are on offense, or at least similar. And the Giants on offense should, you know, yes, it's big up to Daniel Jones, of course. He has to be at least solid. But I think the Giants have a chance to have the best or second best offense in the division and the best or second best defense in the division. They're probably second best in both, but they're the most well-rounded team. The Eagles are a mess. I like the Giants in that division. And yes, I'm a Giants fan. Maybe a little homerism there, but I really do. I think they're the most well-rounded. Last Take is brought to you by Dell. Small Business Month is here, and Dell Technologies and Windows can help you upgrade your tech with up to 45% off high-performance PCs. Work anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Look, LeBron always has the playoffs to show you that he's still king. 2 years ago, he didn't. I said maybe Kawhi's got it. I was wrong. LeBron still has it. But what about this year? Doesn't he have to defend it again? The way James Harden played point guard in Brooklyn? What if James Harden comes back right now, maybe tonight, game time decision, and looks the way he did during the regular season and the Nets rampage to a championship? Are we sure James Harden's not the best player in the world? Are we sure? What if Giannis surprises everyone and finally comes through with the Bucks, having the same season he just had when he won back-to-back MVPs? What if Steph upsets some team in the first round playing the way he's been playing? Is the crown even up for grabs? And even if not the full crown, at least a piece of the title. Like when the champ doesn't make a title defense in a while and they strip him of one of the sanctioning bodies, someone else wins it. But you look at that other dude and you're like, I don't know, he's pretty good. I'm not sure who the best fighter is. Even if LeBron, you still think, has the crown, are you still sure he's the best player in the world if he doesn't have these playoffs to prove it, if the Lakers get bounced in the first round? Patrick in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, what's going on, Max?
Okay, Patrick.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Clippers, and if you think that their three-point historic season that they've had so far, if this can take them all the way to a championship.
Yeah, I think the Clippers have the best shot against the Nets. I think that I wouldn't be so quick if I were Ty Lue to shorten the rotation. I think that their depth is a strength. You got a guy like Luke Kennard and stuff, like play him the minutes and let him hit those shots. I think the Clippers are very live. And what it's going to come down to, other than Kawhi's health, like his left hand, it's going to come down to Paul George. I have confidence in Rondo. I have confidence in Kawhi. A lot of guys on that team. Can Paul George be a star when he needs to be? And if he can, Clippers might get out of the West. I don't think they can beat a big three Nets team, but I think they give him the best run. Ryan in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Max. I think the Lakers would actually be better off getting the 8th seed rather than the 6th or the 7th because this way they would face the 1 seed and then the 4 or the 5 and then the 2 or the 3 rather than getting the 1, the 2, and the 3.
That's
and
a great point.
I think they're also better rested against the Clippers that way if they face them in the conference finals as opposed to getting them in the first round.
That's a fantastic point. And I would like Jazz or Suns. I don't know. I like the Lakers against the Jazz and the Suns if they're healthy. That's a really good point. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Richard, did you see how I shouted you out on First Take the other day?
Hi, Max. Max, first of all, you're right about Magic. Magic was a two guard when he came into the league. Yeah. Norm Nixon was the point guard,
That's
but
right.
That didn't work, of course. Max,
didn't work
night,
except they won the championship the first year.
Right. Well, they switched coaches. That's why. All right. Golden State the other night took 81 shots.
Yeah.
54 of them were three-pointers.
Yep.
So as you know, 54 into 81, that's two-thirds. 66.6% of the shots were three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the time is coming soon? And I'm saying soon, next 2-3 years, where one team will attempt 90% of their shots.
No, because I'll tell you why not, because there's still a lot of value in the paint. You know, dribble penetration to the paint. Even though you don't get like centers posting up there as much anymore, obviously, but you still get the same thing collapsing defenses, even to create the open looks in the paint. And then once you're there, sometimes you're going to want to take a very high percentage shot. So, no, I don't think it'll ever get to like 90%. But if, you know, like, if anyone's going to do it, maybe the Nets, not the Warriors, because they have D'Antoni, as I keep saying. The little secret sauce there is D'Antoni and Harden can run the Rockets' offense, but with KD and Kyrie. And for anyone who doubts how good this Nets team would be if healthy, just imagine if the Rockets had acquired KD and Kyrie to play with James Harden. You just throw up your hands and say, well, what's the point in even? That's what these Nets are. B in D.C., you have 20 seconds. Go.
Matt.
Yes.
If Steph gets robbed this year of the MVP, if he doesn't get the MVP, he's getting robbed. You got to think, when Russ won it, he was in sixth place. And that was a much weaker Western Conference. The West.
Yeah, but Jokic wasn't there doing what he's doing now. Jokic is like 26, 11, and 8. He's the best passing big man ever, maybe. Right? Like, I think Jokic, but I agree with this. Steph has made such a late push, he's in the conversation. He's replaced Dame as the main competition for Jokic. I'd make him one, and maybe Steph, too, for MVP regular season. Shanae Angola Jr. coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.